Welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design, the Dr. C podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, or simply Dr. C. Tune in every 2 to 5 weeks, every Monday, as we explore the unique journeys of entrepreneurs. Our podcast sheds light on the paths entrepreneurs have taken in their respective industries. Each episode, we dive into the stories of entrepreneurs, their challenges, triumphs, and the insights gained along their journey. We believe in the power of innovation, resilience, and the entrepreneurial spirit that drives success. Together, we'll learn from a diverse array of entrepreneurs united by their passion for making a difference. Now is the time to unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship. Now is the time to be inspired, to learn, and to craft your own path to success. Join me, Dr. C, as we embark on this journey together.
It's going to be hard, but it's amazing to be able to get out of bed each day and know that you're working for you. So if you're setting your business up according to your values and what you feel is important in what you do, you're serving the world in the way that you come through in it, it's such an amazing feeling. You work hard, but you don't feel the impact. And I guess I'm comparing that to how I felt getting up every day and going to a school to work. And I don't want to say that I didn't love what I did. I did love working in the educational system for a long time, but at some point it became about trying to fit into someone else's vision of what education should be and how I should be as an employee.
Owner and redefiner in chief of Room Redefine, Erin is a professional organizer and stylist with 25 years of experience in public education. She founded Room Redefined, serving the Colorado Front Range, to combine her passion for organization and design. Erin believes in transforming spaces to reflect each individual, focusing on functionality and ambiance. She provides personalized planning for each project and offers ongoing support to ensure the longevity of her solutions, aiming to positively impact the lives of her clients at home, work, and school. And thank you so much for being here today, Erin. It is such a pleasure to have you. And I would love for you to share, you were an educator for 25 years. Why professional organizing now?
Great question. So when I left education, it was really time for me emotionally and physically to be doing something different. I was ready for a change, but I didn't have something in mind. I didn't know what that next step was. And a dear friend of mine called and she's like, well, while you're trying to figure out what your next steps are in this journey, will you just come organize my house? Because you're really good at that. And I thought, well, I can do that. So it was kind of this like, sure, let's get together. Let's put your house in order. And while I did it, it brought me such joy and myself such peace while I was kind of doing the same thing for her. At the time, I didn't really realize it was a thing that people did, like as a business. But she started telling people what I was doing for her and people started calling me. So this was a very organic development for me. Eventually I realized maybe I should figure out how to be legit. So I went and took a couple business courses and then Room Redefined was born. And I worked as a solo entrepreneur for about 3 years. It was really me focusing on what are my clients teaching me? Just like I used to learn from my students, what do my students need from me to be successful? What do clients need to be successful? Need for me to be successful with their spaces. And so that's how I developed Room Redefined. And then a couple years ago, I started hiring other organizers to come work with me to scale the business.
I love it. It was just a natural flow. It wasn't anything that you had like set out to do. You just kind of, it unfolded so beautifully, helping your friend first and then starting to build a team, everything in between that. And I'm really curious because there's a lot of professional organizers out there, like all over the world, but what makes you guys different?
I feel like what makes us different and what we repeatedly hear from clients is our relationship-based approach. Mm-hmm. And this really comes from my education background, I think. I feel like it's not enough to come into somebody's space and say, okay, we're going to put things in pretty bins. We're going to label them for you and good luck. It really comes back to getting to know our clients deeply and understanding their relationships to their space and their relationships to their stuff, so that we can put in systems that really work for them uniquely. So that's where the relationship basis comes in. And then too, we don't make guarantees that it's a one-shot deal. We would love to be able to come in and say, we can put everything together and it's going to work for you and your space is going to be set to go for here to eternity. But the truth is, our lives change. Our kids grow, seasons change, our kids pick up new sports, or we develop new hobbies and so forth. And so our spaces need to evolve with us. And so we're very honest with our clients about that. And so as we get to know our clients, develop these relationships, we're able to circle back with them quite easily and make these adaptations to the spaces that we've organized for them so that the spaces can grow with them. And they aren't investing money in something that then again in 3 to 6 months is not going to work for them. So that's where our work tends to be very different from a lot of people.
Yeah, and I love that it is that relationship based, because you're building a partnership with them and it's their home. And a lot of people, there's emotions that play such a huge part in the stuff we have or reorganizing things based off of how we've had it for years, maybe. And I'm really curious, what do you think is the impact of being disorganized on your physical and mental and emotional health?
It's actually scientifically proven that being around disorder, being around clutter, creates stress in our bodies. It raises our level of cortisol, which is a stress hormone. And so then the way we react to that is slightly different with each person, but it can lead to sleeplessness. It can lead to frustration. It can lead to weight gain. It can lead to poor immunity, all kinds of stuff. It can lead to just lack of focus. Mm-hmm. So if we're able to remove the clutter in the space, then we can give people healthy environments in which to function for whatever it is they're trying to do in their daily lives.
No, that makes so much sense, because I know like my husband will be up at the middle of the night, like cleaning the house, because he's like, it's so disorganized.
I can't sleep with it this way.
And I'm the same way. Like, I get very overwhelmed if things are not in the place I left them. Like, that happened last night, actually. We were looking for the like clicker. I call it a clicker. He calls it a remote for the TV. And I was like looking for it. And I was like, where is it? And I was like, I always put it right at this spot. I know exactly where it is. And it's not there. But I can see, like, how it can be very overwhelming for individuals, especially if there's just things disorganized. And it, like, I know I've read books about it as well. And just even being a former therapist and a lot of clients where their space was disorganized, it was just like that sense of removing the clutter. Because I think we can have mental clutter, but also clutter in our homes, and how that can correlate so much. And we don't even realize it unless we kind of look at it a little bit more clearly. And I know you do that for your clients as well. And for like being able to help homeowners organize certain rooms and their home, how has that organization improved their own health? Have you heard any stories from your clients?
We hear stories all the time about how it improves family relationships, because suddenly if we come in and we help people set up organizational systems, then children are able to participate in putting things away. Parents aren't getting as frustrated with either their children or their spouses, because we're setting up systems that they can all buy into, they all agree on. We're removing the unwanted things that are causing distractions. So we're really focusing on systems that are important to them. We see people that it is a physical reaction, even in the first visit, where they say, you know, my shoulders were like up here, but as you're leaving, I feel my shoulders relaxing because I can see stuff leaving my space and my space feels lighter. And that just tends to increase the more work we do. People can then start focusing not on the stuff, but on the things they want to accomplish in their life. We have people that we've worked with that are trying to heal from trauma, but they have a hard time focusing on that trauma because they're so distracted by all of the stuff. And many times trauma is expressed through clutter, through over shopping, through lots of things like that. So if we can eliminate some of that distraction, some of those symptoms, then people have healthy spaces in which to focus on their internal healing. There's just example after example that we hear from.
No, and you know, the show Hoarders, I don't know if you've seen that show. But a lot of times when they get into the stories, there is a lot of significant trauma, and it's been through just being able to collect stuff because maybe they didn't have things growing up, or there's been other deeper issues that have happened over time. And I think it's just fascinating when you can really take the stuff out and have a clearer mind, because it just helps with one element, but it really helps with everything. Like, you're helping one element, but it's helping everything else as well. And I'm really curious, because I know you've worked with so many different people, but can you share one or two client success stories with us?
Oh my gosh, just to
Hard to
think.
Choose.
I have to sort through. I'm thinking of one family that I'm working with right now, and everybody in their family is neurodivergent. So that means each person in the family is diagnosed with ADHD, or they're on the autism spectrum, or they suffer from anxiety or depression, or some combination of those. So it just means that their brains are working differently from what we might describe as neurotypical. But what they see happening is then each individual person in their family is interacting with their space in a different way. And it's made it really hard for them to set up organizational systems. So we're coming in and slowly working with them space by space to talk about, like, what do each of you need in order to feel successful in living in your space? And it's been very interesting to hear from each member of the family. And for example, the mother called and brought me in. She's always been on board, but to watch her husband slowly get on board and realize that it's safe to have these conversations with me, that we're not going to force him into a place of getting rid of things that he's uncomfortable with. And we're going to do this in a way that is appropriate for the way his mind works. And to have her young son say, when is she going to come into my room? I want this to happen in my room now, as opposed to just our common spaces. So it's definitely a work in progress. I'm really excited to go back after the holiday break and see, out of the things we've put in place, what they're maintaining, what's working, and where we go from here. But to see these changes within the family and the way they're thinking about their confidence in being able to take this on and do this is a really cool thing.
That's amazing. And just being able to really tailor it to everybody and having all the different personality styles as well, and just what they're going through, but being able to cater to each need is so fascinating, because you don't think of how that can really impact it. It's such a, like, a deeper level than just organizing, because a lot of times I've heard people say, oh, it's just like organizing a house, but it's really all the depth work that you do with the families, I think, is so beautiful and important to really highlight, because each individual is different and has different needs as well. And I know you have a whole team that works with you, so it's not just you, but how does your team approach the benefit of the client working with the whole family? How does that look?
So when we bring on new clients, we ask everybody to complete what we call a new client questionnaire. And it's actually fairly in depth. We want to understand people's basic living situation, who lives where, how big is their house, how do they feel about organization, how long have they lived there, that kind of thing, and what are their basic goals. But then we also want to know things like, what do they love about their home? Because then we can start to tap into what's working for them and what kind of feeds them in their space. What is making them crazy? What are the biggest pain points? What are there any medical or emotional or mental diagnoses that we need to be aware of, that kind of thing. So we're walking in with kind of a treasure trove of information. And then with every client, we conduct free consultations that are in-home. So that's something that's really valuable for me. I'm usually the one for my team that's conducting those, so that I can gather this information to share with my team. And then I'm able to sit down with them and say, you know what, I think you're a really good match for this client, or you're a good match for this client, because I know my team's backgrounds. I know their personalities. I know who who's more forceful in this way and who's more gentle in this way and what their expertise is. So we just create these matches. It's like the matchmaking of organization.
Yes, I love it.
But on the flip side, it's not really hard because I've been so blessed to have people come work with me that are, they're just really lovely individuals. So they love what they do with clients and spaces. So they bring that light to organization. Mm-hmm. They also, both people that I work with have backgrounds with interior design. So we bring this high level of wanting to get to know our clients and building relationships, but we also get a lot of clients that are like, can you just come give my space a refresh? Mm. And, you know, I'm just sick of my pantry looking like this. I want it to look like this pantry from a magazine. I want it to function this way. And so those are really fun projects too, or clients that are like, you know, I want a master closet that's designed for me. Yes. Can you do that? Yes, we can. So that's just a little bit about how we work with clients and my team.
I love it. And I think it's so beautiful, the different dynamics you bring to the table and just having people with interior design background, being able to really work together. And how was that process once you were a solopreneur for 3 years and then moved into hiring a team, building a team? Because a lot of entrepreneurs listening might be in that spot where they're like, I'm ready to bring people on. I know just a few months ago, we started bringing on a lot of people to build our team. But what has your experience been like building a team?
It's been amazing. It's been one of the hardest things I've ever done. I wouldn't go back for anything. But there's so much I feel like I didn't know going into this. I think it's really important to know your values as a business owner, know your why, because once you know your values and your why, and you start to set up your business based on those, you're going to make a lot of subsequent decisions. Mm-hmm. And you have to stand by those decisions. So for example, I know a lot of organizers will bring in help that are contract-based work, and there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. I made an intentional decision to hire W-2 employees. Mm-hmm. I knew when I scaled Room Redefined, I wanted to work with people that were committed to the way we were doing things. They were committed to my values and to growing Room Redefined. Mm-hmm. And so I committed to doing things that way, but that creates a very different business structure when you're working with W-2s versus 1099s and having to have payroll and insurance and that kind of thing. So yeah. It's meant some different kinds of sacrifices for me as a business owner while we go through this building process. But I feel like in the long run, for the quality of company we're building and for what we're able to offer our clients because of that, it's going to be worth it in the long run.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
I think a lot of entrepreneurs really focus in on hiring people that are 1099s versus W-2. I know a lot of mine is contract work, but I love that you're really paying attention to the growth and what the vision is for Room Defined and be able to kind of move into that and make sure that the clients are receiving what the quality that you want to provide as well. And it just all comes together so beautifully.
It's been organically amazing.
It sounds like it.
You know, I'm glad the universe is saying, yay, go for this right now still, because...
Yeah, absolutely. It really is. And it's just showing, because the people that were meant to show up and join forces with you are there, and you continue to build and grow from there. And just to kind of take a step back to the clients, because a lot of clients might, or potential clients might be nervous to have their space organized, or because it's so disorganized sometimes, or it's just somebody coming into their home. And by asking for assistance with organizing their spaces, whether it's business or residential, clients have to open themselves up and be vulnerable with the questionnaire that you have. How do you help them work through this if they're like a little resistance to filling that out?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that a lot of our clients bring up, and I really try and put them at ease right away, because it used to be that seeing the need to ask for like organizational support was like admitting a weakness. And I think a lot of it comes back to this social narrative, especially for women, that sure, it's great for us to have careers, to have these ambitions of our own, but we really still should have a home that looks and functions a certain way. We should still have dinner on the table for our kids and make sure everybody's healthy and taken care of. And like, there's so much that's still expected to be in our wheelhouse, that we have a hard time, particularly as women, of saying, I can do this, I can do this well, and it's okay to bring in support to help me succeed at the things I'm good at. So right away, I start listening for those fears and trying to figure out, like, where is that coming from? Is it coming from embarrassment of the space? Where is that embarrassment coming from? And trying to alleviate that client feeling like I should be able to do it all. No, we shouldn't. And what are you doing that's well? How are we going to build on that feeling of confidence and success by also giving you success in your space? So that's, you know, and clients also feel a lot of embarrassment or frustration at the choices they've made sometimes with what they've brought into their home, or emotions regarding being able to let things go. So a lot of our conversations circle around, what is your why? Why are you wanting to make these changes? What are you hoping it will do for you? And how are we going to live our life and make these decisions now for your life now moving forward, as opposed to what our life was in the past? And once we start putting things into that perspective, again, it creates this sense of lightness and hope that helps the clients move into a different kind of headspace as they're making decisions.
Absolutely, because it's getting to the why, understanding what is really valuable to them and what the end goal is and the outcome that they're wanting. And it can be really hard to let go. I know my parents have been going through their house, getting rid of stuff. And some of them, it's been sentimental to them, some things, but being able to just kind of remove the clutter that's accumulated over 30 something years in the house. But I think it's good to really look at letting go. What's the goal? Removing things that no longer serve you too, or spark joy, as I like to say. Well, it's not my saying, but I'm curious, because if somebody does want to get organized, but they're afraid of getting rid of things, how do you approach that? I know part of it is the why, understanding what the outcome is, but a little further into that.
So it really depends on the client's situation. So many times it's taking a look at, though, what is the space they're wanting, whether they're staying in a home or an apartment or wherever they, you know, an office, whether we're trying to work with an existing space or move into, say, a new home. What do they want that to feel like and function like? And what space do we have to work with in that? And so as we make decisions, what are the impacts on that space? So we're forcing them to get rid of anything, but it's helping them make those informed decisions. So you're right, I can't get rid of this, but let me think about the impact it's going to have on how I function in my space now. Or no, I'm downsizing to a smaller home, but I can't get rid of anything I have. Well, what is the impact that's going to have on the way you want to live in your new space? Because we can't create more space. We can do a lot. Yeah. I have a fake magic wand up there that somebody gave me, because they're like, Erin, you guys are like magic. I'm like, well, if only I had that true magic.
You do. I love that. That just resonates so much. And I'm really curious, because a lot of times you might organize a space, but do you ever have clients that are unable to maintain that space and it becomes a little bit more messy, or just it goes back to the same as it was before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And those are, it happens. And those are clients that, where we really try and work with them. And the more we do this, the more we know and can talk with clients about, like, we think this is a good opportunity for a partnership. We offer maintenance plans. And we have a lot of clients that we've worked with for 3 years, 4 years plus.
Yeah.
Because they know, like, okay, this is not my forte, or I'm busy and I want my home to function a certain way, but I'm not going to have time to maintain this. So I can have Erin, or I can have someone on her team come in every couple months and they can tweak this or tweak that for me and keep up the space because they know me so well. Mm-hmm. So it's a very minimal overhead, but a big reward, return on investment for them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because I'm just curious, because you see a lot of times, like, it looks so pretty, everything's great at the end. And then a few months go by and people get busy, or just the lifestyle doesn't match. But being able to really define that in the beginning and knowing that they can come back and have it reorganized and just that little touch ups.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's really key. And so I'm usually pretty honest with people in our, even in our consultations, that this is what you can expect from your initial sessions, but this is what you should think about over time to get that return on your investment.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm like, we need you.
It's probably like therapy too. Like, you're going to, you know, you're going to do a lot up front, but then you're going to need a little, you know, zhuzhing. Yeah. Every now and then to keep you feeling healthy and checking in with yourself. Or
exactly. It's a, because nothing ever stays the same. We're always changing and evolving, and our needs change and evolve, and the spaces might change and evolve as we do. And I think it's great that you have that in place so people can rely on that if they need it. It's like a that physical fitness, the mental fitness, the room fitness. I don't know if that's a word, but
just came to it. Should be, if it's not.
Now it is. You heard it here first. But I'm really curious, because I know we kind of talked about some of the obstacles of building a team, but what have been some of the obstacles when you started your business that could be really helpful for somebody that's starting their journey?
Oh, obstacles. Gosh. One of the things that I think drove the pacing of the building of my business is that I came to this as a former educator. So it's not like I was coming into this business with a big nest egg. Mm-hmm. I wasn't, you know, no big investment here. So it was really, again, growing my business as I had funds from the business to reinvest in it. Mm-hmm. And so it's taken a lot of patience, mm-hmm. and being strategic. So I watch some other companies and look at the amount of Facebook ads they're able to buy, or, you know, different opportunities that people have. And instead, we've had to figure out, how do we build those relationships organically? Mm-hmm. And that's a challenge. That takes a lot of work and intentionality. So I feel like that's one of the biggest obstacles. Another big obstacle that I think just comes from experiences, you know, you enter a field and you, at least for me, being a former educator, you want to help everybody.
Yeah.
You know, you want to solve problems for everyone, and you see these opportunities, but how do you start narrowing down who you can really support well? And my team is really beneficial in helping me do that too, because, you know, I mean, I have the bleeding heart where I'm like, well, of course we can help this person. And they're like, Erin, within boundaries, you know. So we've had to work hard to define what we can do well.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's that tendency for us as organizers to want to be therapists as well as organizers, and we're not trained as that. You know, so we have to set boundaries, things like that.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought up boundaries, because I think that is really important, especially in the beginning where you do want to serve everyone because you have a big heart. I know when I went from therapy to coaching to everything else I've done, it was really hard. You're like, I can help everybody. And the reality was, yeah, I cannot help everyone. You're serving nobody if you're focused on everybody. And I love that you were able to find your niche and with your team as well and continue to grow. And I'm glad they ground you back, where you're like, I want to help them. But you're like, no, no, they're not like in our wheelhouse. Or you can help them, but just focusing on that niche and growing those relationships. Because a lot of times people expect things to happen overnight. And I think maybe the shift is coming where people realize there's a lot of work to be done first and foremost, and you like build upon that. It's like a tree. It doesn't grow overnight. It takes time. It takes water. and the nature itself. And that's the same with a business. And I'm really glad you brought that up, because relationships are fundamental, I believe, of everything we do. Whether they're business related or not, it's just being able to genuinely connect with someone, because you never know who somebody knows where you can connect them or they can connect you. And it's just, I don't know. I think it's all about connection first, then business. That's been my
Oh,
life.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's great. It's important. It's important. And that's why I love highlighting it as much as possible, so people understand. And maybe everybody does that's listening. Hopefully you do. Maybe not. I don't know.
I think it's a growing awareness too. And I think I feel like when I talk with different business owners, the awareness is really increasing after the pandemic.
Yeah.
Of how we build relationships with each other. And this idea that it used to be so easy to just jump on Zoom and have connection. And, you know, here we are doing a video interview, but still, if I have the opportunity to meet people in person for coffee versus a video meeting, I'll take coffee any day, because I feel like those in-person relationships are so much deeper.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's how we met. We met at an event and we
right.
started talking. I was like, I love your energy. I have to have you on and love what you do. But even with all of the obstacles you've had to overcome, the success, what advice would you give entrepreneurs that are on the journey that you wish you would have known in the beginning, outside of the relationships, connection, those things? But what other things do you think were really important?
It's going to be hard, but it's amazing to be able to get out of bed each day and know that you're working for you. So if you're setting your business up according to your values and what you feel is important in what you do, you're serving the world in the way that you come through in it. It's such an amazing feeling. You work hard, but you don't feel the impact. And I guess I'm comparing that to how I felt getting up every day and going to a school to work. And I don't want to say that I didn't love what I did. I did love working in the educational system for a long time, but at some point it became about trying to fit into someone else's vision of what education should be and how I should be as an employee, as opposed to what I felt was authentic and true. And so I was getting up every day trying to work for somebody else, as opposed to doing what I felt was right. So to make that change, if you're holding on to that, all the hard stuff becomes so much easier.
Yes, so well said, because it is about following your dreams, your vision, your heart. And a lot of times I think people get stuck because of financial reasons, other reasons, but really looking at, do you want to continue working the 9 to 5, the 40-hour work week, versus maybe working 80 to 120 hours a week, but being really happy, at least in the beginning, it gets a little bit better, but being able to really focus on those core values, I think, is such a key point, because when you follow those values, things start to open up for you as well. Like, obviously you have to do the work, but things start to really light the way. I know that was my experience. The more I said yes to things that were aligned, the more opportunities opened up. When it was a struggle, it's like doors were getting slammed in my face of just, this is not the right opportunity, because I wasn't really looking at my core values and my vision. And I think that's just, even with education, I come from a family of educators, both my parents, and I like saw they loved what they did. But then towards the end, when my mom retired, politics changed a little bit. It was during the pandemic and whatnot, so it really shifted. But to go back to your point with the pandemic, I think people started to gain that awareness of how important what their values were outside of the relationships and connecting, but what they really wanted. And things started to open up for a lot of people. I noticed a huge shift of new entrepreneurs coming in 2020 of like, okay, I want to follow this passion now. Like, this seems like the right time. And it was almost like an awakening for the world, I felt. I don't know if you felt the same way.
Oh, yeah. I think the other thing that's key when you're holding on to that is give yourself grace, because it isn't just a smooth upward path. At least it wasn't for me. And there were moments where I thought, you know, is this going to happen? And what am I going to have to do? What am I going to have to compromise to make this happen? And for example, when I was first starting out, I didn't have enough clients on a regular basis to pay all my bills. Yeah. I needed to contribute to my family on a more consistent basis. So I went and worked part-time for the Container Store. And for a while, there was this internal dialogue of like, wait a minute, I have a master's degree in education and I'm working retail. But then I got to the Container Store and I'm like, that organization part of my brain kicked in and I knew I had picked the right place because I'm like, wait a minute, this is my happy place anyway. I am surrounded by all of the products that I love. So in a way, it was like work, but not work. And I learned so much through that process. So when you're getting those setbacks, take that time to figure out what are you going to learn and grow from those too. And one of my employees, I actually met through the Container Store. She brings in this amazing wealth of experience and knowledge of organizing products because of her experience there too. So you just never know how what you think are setbacks are really a step forward in what you're trying to build. So you just have to take it as it comes.
Absolutely. And that's a great example because you never know who you're going to meet, how you can help them or they can help you, or just being able to foster a beautiful relationship from it. And I'm glad that you brought that up about working at the Container Store, because a lot of times you see on social media where people look super successful and you never know what's going on behind the closed door. And even when I started my coaching business, I ended up going back to work at Starbucks part-time for health benefits, but also just a little bit more capital and cash flow. And I met so many incredible people, the people that would come in because like I had my doctorate at that time and they're like, what are you doing here? What are you doing back? I was like, well, I love coffee. I'm a coffee addict. I get it for free. I'll take it. But being able to meet amazing people just like yourself and somebody you worked with is now an employee of yours. And it's just the synergy of how things work. You just really never know. And I think it's looking at the positives of a situation. I know that can be really challenging sometimes, but you never know what can come from it. And something beautiful, like having an amazing employee now and being able to be the synergy between the two of you in order to continue to grow the business together, essentially.
Yeah. And I learned so much too about products and the supply lines and supply times and things that we use every day for our clients. So that's not the only place we get product, but it's a great resource for us. So, be strategic, but give yourself grace. Yes.
Those two, strategic and grace. Couldn't agree more. And I know the Container Store has a lot of tools and other things, but what are some of the tools that you use on the back end to build your business?
So to run the business as opposed to organize spaces.
Yeah.
Okay. That's been a growth process for me too, because as I scaled, it was kind of like, oh, I need a payroll company. Oh, I need this. Oh, I need that. And it was kind of like whack-a-mole, like, oh, I'm just going to grab this company and put it in place. And I really hit a point a little over a year ago where I realized none of my systems were talking to each other. So I was working twice as hard on the back end of my business as I really should have been. So I'm slowly eliminating platforms and putting in new ones. One that I just started using is called Jobber, Jobber. And it's a business operations platform designed for service professionals. And my team and I have started building this out just at the end of 2023. So we're not even fully using it yet. Clients, if you're listening, your invoices will look different in a couple of weeks. But to be able to take three or four of the different platforms that we were using or apps that we were using and combine it into one that's designed for what we do is a huge relief on our end. So I think once I get all of the bugs worked out as far as rethinking how my brain works in running the business in this new app, it's going to be great. Another one that I love, because for a long time I did all of the media design, flyers, all of that for my business, is Canva. It's so simple and easy to use if you want to design flyers, website pages, Facebook posts, anything. So I figure if I can do it with my limited tech ability, then it's a pretty great platform. And I get a lot of compliments on our brochures and stuff. So those are two that I really like recommending to people.
Well, those are good ones. Jobber sounds very well organized in the sense of having everything in one place, because I think that's where it gets a little chaotic when we have things in multiple places. I mean, no pun intended, organization. I know that's your thing. You're living by it now.
Yep.
Even more so on every platform. Yeah. But I love that it's one entity. So it keeps things organized for you as well as your team and then customers. And things always evolve and change too. But it's good to know, because other service-based businesses that might be needing that will be able to use that now. So I appreciate you sharing that one.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like with clients admitting they need help from an organizer, I've had to know where I need to admit I need help from other people. So I have a bookkeeper now, and they run, I use QuickBooks for my all of my bookkeeping. It's great, but I couldn't have set it up myself. I needed help. So hire a bookkeeper if that's not your jam, that kind of thing.
Yes, ask for help. I couldn't agree more. That's a very difficult one in the beginning. And also when you're ready to up level and scale your business, asking for help is what allows you to continue moving forward and focusing in the zone of genius that you have. So other people that maybe you don't want to do certain things, you can allocate that to them. That is their bread and butter, and they know exactly what to do and they love it. So
yeah.
I love that you were able to outsource that. And I'm curious, because I know you've already accomplished so much in the years you've been in business, but what are your future goals or aspirations?
Well, our goal for 2024 is really to double business. So we're at a state where we've had 4 to 5 employees. They were all part-time. Right now, just through natural attrition, people moving out of state and so forth, we're down to 2 who really want to be working full time. So I'm really maximizing their schedule right now. And then we want to bring on 1 or 2 more that want to maximize their schedule. So that's our goal for this year, is to really be solidifying things, supporting the residential clients in our business for 2024. Long range, if we're looking beyond that, with my background, we have had clients in educational settings. So we want to continue to grow that side of the business. When you look up organizing for schools, you don't see many other options out there, if any. So that's something that we really want to be growing. But like we talked about earlier with that boundary setting, we've had to really focus our energy for the last year or so and decide where we're going to be developing. And long term, I feel this big need to figure out how we support clients who need organizing support and can't pay for it upfront. I feel like organizing and living in an organized environment should not be only a luxury service. Our prices are very fair for what we offer, but we're not able to do a lot of pro bono work right now because we're just too small a business. So somebody recommended the other day, she's like, so spend a couple of years really growing your business and then start a foundation. And I thought, oh my gosh, wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah.
I don't know of anybody doing this, but how cool would that be? So that's like a, you know, this like pie in the sky goal that we have for, you know, one day, you know, what if?
Yeah. Why not, right? And I think it definitely can happen. And I think more people are with their businesses. There's like donation aspects that are attached to the business itself that I've heard of. But definitely now I know. There's some people that I know that have foundations. So I'm going to put you in contact with them. But it's so exciting. And I've been so enjoying this conversation, Erin. But where can people find you? Find your services. We're going to link everything below. But if you could let us know too.
Absolutely. So the best place is to visit us at our website, www.roomredefined.com. Through there, it links to all of our social media. We're also on Room Redefined Denver for Facebook and Instagram. But through our website, then there's also a form where you can fill out a request for a 15-minute chat. So we can just have time on our calendar to discuss organizational challenges you might be facing, see if there's ways I can support you. We can set up a one-to-one in-person consultation. And from there, we can go through booking some organizational time. So I'd love to get to know people that have organizational challenges and figure out how we can support you.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Erin, for shedding light on just on the organizational aspects when it comes to just removing the clutter, being able to feel better in their home, helping with their mental and physical health as well. There's so many more stories, I know, but thank you for sharing the ones that you did and just all the insights. I know I appreciate you being on, and I'm sure everyone else does as well, but thank you for coming on today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun to talk with you.
Absolutely. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below what was the biggest takeaway from today, and we'll see you on the next episode.